This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. And Jesus came from the Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that we would hear not just the words of men, but the words of God, and this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to take that as my text this morning from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. If you're making use of the Pew Bible, you can find that text on page 961. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, and beginning at verse 13. And this morning I want to talk about Jesus baptized for us. Jesus baptized for us. Indeed, Jesus wasn't baptized like everyone else. Or maybe I should clarify that Jesus was baptized like everyone else, but not for the same reasons as everyone else. Indeed, notice the context so that we can understand our text this morning. In this third chapter of Matthew, back up to verse 1, if you have your Bible with you or you're looking in the Pew Bible, chapter 3 and beginning at verse 1, And in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And then notice verses 5 and 6, And then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And then we come to our text. And the first point that we might make is that Jesus was baptized by John because Jesus wanted to be baptized by John. Indeed, notice in verse 13. And then Jesus came from the Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. And so Matthew says that Jesus came from the Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. Right. And so that's why Jesus came, to be baptized by him. Might seem a sort of an extraordinary thing when you think that everybody else is coming. And John the Baptist is preaching and saying, get ready because God is coming. And you need to repent because you're going the wrong way. And you need to be going the right way. And he says, and don't come to me to be baptized until you confess your sins. And so it seems rather maybe a strange thing that this Jesus who says in another passage, and I do always those things which are pleasing to the Father. And as we'll see at the end of our text, the voice of God from heaven says, and this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased, that he would leave the Galilee and come to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But that's exactly why he came, because he wanted to be baptized by John. And so that's the first thing. And then I'd like us to notice also that Jesus wasn't baptized for himself. And this is the thing maybe we don't always recognize, that Jesus wasn't baptized for himself as the other people were. They were being baptized for themselves. Indeed, notice beginning at verse 14. And John would have prevented Jesus, saying, wait a minute. See, even John's confused. I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? And Jesus says, verse 15, and let it be so now, John. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And so Matthew says that John would have prevented him. Indeed, interesting, the word prevented is in the imperfect tense. Imperfect tense, if you remember when you were in school, refers to action that was going on, not just an action, but ongoing action in the past. That's imperfect tense. So we might put it to maybe clarify the original language. Jesus was preventing him. Or we might say, Jesus was forbidding him. That is to say that Jesus, or John, was saying no to Jesus. Or as Peterson in the Message puts it, John objected. And so Matthew says John would have prevented Jesus, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And in other words, John is saying, look, I mean, you got this all turned around. And maybe you can kind of relate to this, because maybe you talk to God like that too. You know, where are you and what are you doing? You got this whole thing turned around. And so John says that to him. Indeed, it isn't you, John says, who needs to be baptized by me, but it's me that needs to be baptized by you. And so Matthew says in verse 14, and John would have prevented Jesus, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But then notice Jesus' response in verse 15. But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, John. Don't prevent it, John. Let it happen. Baptize me, John. In fact, I remember, I don't know, this just popped into my head. And I was an ordained priest, and the dean of the seminary, Dean Chris, came. I was surprised. I didn't know he was invited, but it was way far away. And he came all the way from Neshota, Wisconsin, all the way to north central Wisconsin. And just to give you an idea how long it was, he arrived about 30 minutes early, so he didn't quite time it right. But that happens when you go on a long trip. Anyway, after the ordination and so on, and traditionally in an Anglo-Catholic circumstance, that after you take communion, the newly ordained priest, people will come to the communion rail to receive a fresh blessing from the new priest. But I've got too much evangelical blood in me, so that wasn't part of the service. But Dean Chris is a thoroughgoing Anglo-Catholic, and so he cornered me long after the reception and so forth in the narthex there in the church, and I saw him there, and I thought maybe he wanted to talk to me, and he dropped to his knees. I thought he was having a stroke. I mean, he dropped to his knees, and then he looked up, and he said, bless me, Father, and I balked. This is Dean Chris. And then he said, bless me, Father. And so John is balking. In fact, he's trying to instruct Jesus the way it should be. And Jesus is saying, bless me, John. Baptize me, John. For it is fitting for us. It's fitting for us, John, you and me. I can't do a baptism by myself. I need you, John. It's fitting for us working together to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. In the New Living Translation, we have it to carry out all that God requires. That is, we need to do this, John, because we need to do all that needs to be done, which included Jesus being baptized. And not because Jesus needed to repent of his sin and turn his life around and get right with God the Father, with whom he was already in a perfect relationship, but rather as an act of solidarity with those who do sin, with those who do need to repent, for those who do need for themselves to be baptized. And so just as Jesus would take on himself our sins on the cross and receive in himself the penalty that was due our sin, the weight of which made him say something perhaps he might have never thought he'd say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that we might be given a right standing before God and receive it as a gift through faith. And so here, Jesus made himself one of us in baptism. In fact, this made me think of other scriptures that are related to this. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, and Jesus said, "For I, the Son of Man, came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life, not for myself, but as a ransom for many." Or Peter, writing in his first letter, he, Jesus himself, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Or this is in breath, and this is breathtaking. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. "For our sake, God made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin." I think that's what Jesus was thinking about on the night that he was betrayed and he prayed in the garden. And Luke, the physician of all the gospel writers, made reference to a condition called hematidrosis, which means that when somebody is under extraordinary stress, the capillaries in their skin and their forehead break and the blood is mixed with the sweat, sometimes referred to as Jesus' bloody sweat. What was it that was upsetting him so? I think this is it, that he knew that the next day he would be on the cross and he would become sin who knew no sin. Sometimes I think about that. Maybe you've had this experience. You do something wrong and you feel ashamed. Maybe you do something wrong and the nature of it, you feel dirty. And that's just your sin. Just imagine how you might feel if all the sin that had ever been committed was laid on you and you became it, that you might take the penalty due to it so that those who committed it might be saved by grace through faith, and that not on themselves, but as a gift from God. And so for our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him, that in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Or as Paul would write to the Romans, Romans 8 and verse 1, "And therefore, because this is true, there is now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus." And so Jesus says to John, "Let it be so now, John, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And Matthew says in verse 15, "And so John consented." And so that's the second thing. Jesus was baptized for us. Finally, I'd like us to notice that Jesus' baptism was an occasion for revealing to us who he really is. An occasion for revealing to us who he really is. Indeed, the occasion of Jesus' baptism is an epiphany. And this is the season of Epiphany. For the next several weeks, Epiphania, a manifestation of a shining forth of a revelation of something that maybe wasn't noticed before. And that's what the baptism of Jesus is. Indeed, notice verses 16 and 17. "And when Jesus," verse 16, "when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased.'" And so Matthew says, and when Jesus was baptized. Now, what is interesting, we might think just about Jesus. But if you look closely, you can see that Jesus is there, the Father is there, and the Holy Spirit is there. That God, the Holy Trinity, is there. Indeed, verse 16, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, and we mention this from time to time, we don't say that, you know. When we're talking to somebody, when we're trying to make a point, you know, you're in the kitchen and you say, behold, I'm hungry. Where's the dinner? Or some other thing that you're trying to say. Usually we say things like, hey, listen here. Listen here. But to say behold means to look, to pay attention. When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, pay attention, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. I'm not sure if I always think this when I read about this, but this is a seeming messianic reference, that this, the coming of the Spirit on him, is a messianic reference. It answers that question. The question that John sent his disciples to Jesus to ask later in John's life when he was in prison after Herod had thrown him in prison. He sent the disciples to Jesus and say, are you the one we're looking for? Or should we be looking for someone else? Indeed, the prophet Isaiah said of the Messiah to come in chapter 11, of his prophecy, beginning at verse 1, and there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. A branch from his root shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Or Isaiah 42 and verse 1, behold my servant, the Messiah, whom I hold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth justice to the nations. And so verse 16, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. Notice verse 17, and behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. And so today there's five of you who will be baptized. And Jesus was baptized too. And this is just one of the ways that in which Jesus became one of us, to know what it's like to be one of us, to save us from our sins, and to live in fellowship with us forever. Even as Max Lucado said, and we quote him so often, he said, whether you live to be 9 or 90, life is short, and the kingdom of God lasts forever. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen. Jesus baptized for us. Jesus baptized for you. Let us pray. What is it, Lord? It's, I don't know. It just popped into my head. And Nat King Cole saying, the greatest thing you can ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. And you love us. And then what should we do, Lord? But love you in return. And if we should ever say, but Lord, you don't love us enough, or you don't really love us, how many examples, Lord, would you be able to give of the sacrifices you've made and the things that you've done and the burdens that you have borne and the temptations that you have undergone that you might see us safe? No one loves us like you. No one can. And so if anyone ever deserved to be loved in return, it is you. And so help us to love you, and not just in word only, but in deed and in truth. Not as a deception, but with integrity and authenticity, the best we can, and not even in our own power, but in the power of the Spirit who lives within us. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.